Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
I dream that one day we have actually a live garage session in the garage.
We are so doing that.
Ah, oh, he's decided.
I think we should have a mini rave in here.
Imagine, just like in here, but to get garage like, MCs in the garage. We are in the garage right now. We're in my garage, yeah. As always. Hi, everyone. And so I thought, imagine just having like DJ like an MC Neat over there.
I mean, we were very close to having the Gully Gang. Yeah, in the garage with the garage gang
could have easily been.
It would have been GGGGGG.
Why are you still, godding I'm already? Still, the first thing you said this week. That's I wanted to be noticed.
No, I said hello earlier.
Oh, yeah, no, it's just quite.
It's just because I'm not sure if I like it in the garage.
I beg your pardon. You don't like it? What?
I don't like in the garage.
Yeah, it doesn't feel homely, does it? It's like all of a sudden Tommy's kicked us out.
We were like kitchen tables where we started.
Yeah.
Then we got promoted. Yeah. To the living room.
Yeah.
We sat around the living room for a little while.
Yeah, we did. Yep.
Then we kind of went back into the championship round the...
Outdoors garden session with a few of those.
Exactly. So that's weather orientated.
We've done all of the leagues. Yes. And now I think we're in the conference.
We're in the Vauxhall conference.
I think my wife was scared that the next one was going to be in the bedroom. So she went, okay, no.
I mean, that's the only room that we...
We haven't done that one yet.
We haven't done the bedroom. No.
Maybe we need to.
Yeah.
Just before we do carry on, was there any complaints from last week? Because I think we need to clear that up.
I said to both Milo and my wife,
"Yeah,
could you hear us?
Oh, I thought you were talking about complaints about the podcast.
No, here we go.
No,
I'm talking about
noise levels.
Oh, right.
Not a sound.
There you go.
This is really?
This is not nothing. They went, oh. And Milo went, oh, when are you recording it? Tonight? I went, no. I recorded it last... Oh, forget it. Don't worry. The fact that you don't know that it was even recorded... Okay.
Kedge behaved.
Yeah. Well, you didn't behave. You were just contained. Yeah. He was like, you know, it's like putting someone in isolation in prison.
Realistically, this is going to be a... This is it.
So this is it. Now you've got the go-ahead to convert.
Until we replace Kedge with someone quiet and respectable, which isn't going to happen.
It might happen soon.
No, never know. You know what?
Grass always looks greener on the other side.
I'll tell you what, though, Satch, we'll get rid of him. He'll still turn up. Yeah. And then it's awkward. Like,
you'll still hear me from outside the garage. I'll be banging the garage. Yeah. Hello? Hello?
You know, what I would have said there was...
It's quite sad because I was looking forward. I thought maybe this is a little temporary thing. And
I thought that as well. I thought Tommy might just go, guys, we're back in.
Honestly, I feel like, what's a football team that's just gone down and stayed down? What club is that?
It looks like
Sunderland.
Or just Leeds United for a while. Do you know what I mean?
No, Leeds struggling. Are still in the...
No, like, they were down for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Then they came up and now,
What I will say is, over the summer,
yes,
that's different.
Oh, yeah.
Because you've got school the next day. Because the whole point is, when he's got school tomorrow, and they've got school tomorrow.
But if they've got school, can we go outside?
No.
Even if I'm a bit quiet.
That's by their bedroom.
That's even...
But can you move them?
I can ask. I can ask my wife.
Just next door. It's fine. We lost your neighbour.
Then move them across to the other side, the other, you know, wing of your house. Okay. And then...
These are real problems. These are real problems. Let everyone who thinks about, you know what? I'd like to start a podcast.
There's issues.
And you're, think about
there's
it.
There's so many
next
things.
Next time you're going to go, think about the noise you're going to make, when you're going to do it. And, you know, it requires a commitment to come in, week out and do it. Right? And, you know, even my missus knows, she came in, quickly ate her food. She's like, I'll take the kids
get
them to bed. Let's try and get them down before Kedge arrives.
I'm already kind of stressed about because, you know, I need to throw in, I haven't even said this to you boys, but we need to do one online in a couple of weeks.
Oh.
And I know, someone over there is definitely going to get into
trouble.
Why is that?
Are you away again?
I'm away, yeah.
Oh, God,
where are you going now?
I'm going Dubai again.
Again?
Yeah.
Third time.
No, but I've told you I'm going there.
For another brunch.
No, it's not.
Another garage rave.
No, it's not. I'm away, but it's just I was thinking about it on the way up, and I was like, he's not going to be happy.
Okay, no, it is what it is. We're going to have to somehow. Maybe
if not,
maybe I might just drive to Tommy's
house. We'll get a substitute Sachin if you want someone else.
Maybe I'll just drive to Tommy's house, and I'll just sit in here on my own while he's in
that room.
Yeah,
I'm over
just
there
just talking normally.
Yeah,
and he could just be making all the noise he wants. Well, I'll tell you who'd make a good substitute.
Yeah,
or who always makes a good substitute for you, only because he's your mate.
Yeah,
and he's a DJ.
Yeah,
and it's a like for like on a great DJ for another great DJ.
Yes, I'd agree.
Is
just different hairstyles.
I was trying to think of someone who's a really bad DJ, but then I didn't want to cuss anyone.
Oh,
so I was going to go,
just say Kedge.
No, exactly. No, but you're not even a bad DJ. You're not a DJ.
Yeah.
You're just
bad.
You're just an uncle who's got a tape cassette deck.
Right.
I got double deck.
They just call me Selector Kedge.
Jags Climax is what
I can get him in, line him up.
Yeah, you have a word. Because firstly, I had a refresher course in Jags Climax chat last Thursday. We all went out last Thursday, right?
Yes, we did.
Let's tell everyone about it. We went out last Thursday. Satch was DJing at the Ministry of Sound.
MOS.
Sound. Can I just, before we start, it was a weird night for me.
Was that?
Oh.
Because, like, you guys have never really been out when I'm fully working.
No, and I have.
No, but like, Ken, you're still kind of there, like, you know, having a drink and, you know, chatting to other people. But you guys were there with me.
Oh, standing next to you, like almost booth, like your roadies.
Yeah.
I almost felt like I had to keep checking on Satch. I did a couple of times, you know, when he was doing that. I was like, you're all right, mate?
Because I just wanted to give
him... Yeah, he stroked the back of my head.
How annoying was that?
I was giving him real-time feedback.
Oh,
I was like, asking if he was all right, because he was the guest, really.
You're the Brona. You're the Brona.
I was a guest. I did feel like a guest.
You were the Piranha.
Yeah. What do you call guests in Gujarati?
Mehman.
Mehman. Oh, Mehman.
Yeah.
What did you call him? Prona. Prona is guest in Punjabi.
I thought you called him Piranha.
Prona. No, Prona.
He likes biting people.
Yeah.
He's a little nibbler.
Just call me Suarez.
No, Piranha.
So yeah, I felt like I kind of needed to see if you were right, because you were with me.
Yeah, and also I wasn't drinking. That's why you were really concerned.
Oh, yeah, that's also true. Yeah.
Which means none of us were drinking.
None of us were drinking. It was a very sober, and that's why I almost felt like at times I felt like such a security guard. And also, I did a bit of, I was doing a little bit of that gum for Satch, which I don't think he knows about. But there was a lot of people who somehow, or for some reason, always wanted to get my attention because I was next to the DJ booth.
Yeah. They're waving at you.
Yeah, and then I went down and I spoke to a few of them.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because and then I was like, so the first time was, when's Divine coming? So I made it up and I just went, I know this
about
one.
About 20 minutes.
I said half an hour. And then I looked at my watch when I got back and I thought, oh my God, it's still an hour to go.
Yeah.
Right. And then two other times they said he was showing me a picture of something on his phone. And because obviously it's really loud and I didn't get it. But then what it was a picture of Hardy Sandu and he wanted you to play that.
Okay.
And I went, don't be silly, mate. He's not doing that.
Why not?
Well, cause
why did you make that call with that?
No, because he doesn't do that. Satch is universally known for, don't ask me for a tune.
So why do you ask him for tunes all the time? And why do you tell Satch?
Oh no, because I'm his friend.
Okay, right.
also, you know,
questionable.
But so I was doing that seva for you.
But can I say I did play Hardy Sandu?
Yeah.
You did. Exactly. So that's why you must have thought I told you. But I just want so you to know that good. I was doing seva for you.
Oh, thank you.
And if there is, you know, down the line, if you need that, because I kept them away from you.
Right. Oh, thank you. The barriers or the security didn't.
Let's just we've got to explain a couple of things. So it was Ministry of Sound Thursday night. It's a student night. And Divine from the, you know, the Gully Gang, Divine and his DJ
JD.
JD were down to perform a live PA set, which is why we went, really, as well as the fact that Satch goes, I'm DJing, Divine's there, special occasion, no one's been out for ages.
Yeah, come.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
I can tell you, for 3 days beforehand, I was telling everybody, because it was on a Thursday, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I was telling everyone,
really?
I'm going Ministry of Sound. Guess what I'm doing on Thursday? What? I'm going Ministry of Sound. And all the other parents were like, really? Like, hi, really?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, really? I said, you know why? Oh, mate of mine's DJing.
Yeah.
And I've got another friend who's a rapper who's coming over from India.
Yeah.
How good does that sound?
Yeah.
The mate of mine's DJing. And I've got another mate who's a rapper who's coming from India to perform a live PA.
They thought you were lying.
No, they know what I do, so they thought.
What did he say about me?
Huh?
What did he say about me?
I said I didn't. I didn't mention in the highlights of the story. Yeah. I didn't mention you because I knew you.
No, you were the friend that came over from India and stayed in.
Yeah. Is this friend rapper like your other illegal immigrant friend rapper? No, no, not like him. He's all right now. He's come good. He's in yeah. Watford. He's bushing.
He's like, managed to get a visa.
He's all right. He's legal. But I was so excited. I was so pumped. And then we got there. And obviously, we were going to meet up beforehand, Ken.
Yes,
I had a little meeting. I was sort of done. And I went to Sook Audula's book launch.
That's right. I picked you up.
Yeah, so I went to a little book launch.
You picked him up? Yeah, I picked him up.
Because okay, I was in nice. King's Cross.
Yeah.
And then I parked near, it was all practical. Because as you get older, you get practical. I think, right, park the car by Elephant and Castle, which is where South London, which is where Ministry is.
Yeah.
Then I get a train up to King's Cross, where the book launch is. Then Kedge very conveniently went, hey, I'm passing through King's Cross. I'll grab you on my way down to Ministry.
Oh, that's nice of
Perfect.
You. I know.
So Kedge grabbed me. We went on down. And then we went and got a bit of a bite to eat.
Yeah.
In Mercato Metropolitano, which is that big Italian
market. Can I just say, though, and that was the first time I introduced you to momos, because you didn't know what momos
were. Yeah, you're like dumplings.
They're like dumplings. Big in India.
You don't know what momos are?
Nope.
No, Tommy's never had them. But
Momo's
you know
is
what?
A nightclub in Schnösch on Stadt. Isn't it?
Momo's used to be a club.
It used to be a club.
Yeah.
So they were pink ones. They're not really nice.
Yeah.
And
very
I thought,
nice,
and
yeah.
I thought, you know what? I didn't want to eat too much. I'll eat it. Yeah. I thought I just wanted something, you know, just
Kedge,
to line it.
Can I tell you what Kedge went and got? What he made me try? He went and got six rubbers from a razor pack from WH Smith and put them on a plate. And I chewed through this thing. I went, I really like it. But it was like rubber. It was like hard. It was like eating like rubber.
They were the worst momos I've ever. Because you know that they've got to be soft because they're steamed.
Yeah,
aren't they?
You can't mess momos up.
They were hard, and it was. And I felt so. I felt pathetic even telling Tommy to try it.
You should have.
Because I really thought they were going to be brilliant, and they were the.
What else you get?
No, so they were just momos with like a bit of chili sauce. That's all I ate.
Yeah.
He got the full munch.
No, I got I got chicken thighs.
Oh.
Grilled chicken thighs with avocado and salad and a little dip.
It's outdoor though.
But obviously every cuisine, Turkish, grills, you know, Persian, Vietnamese, noodles, da da da. So anyway, we sat there and we ate. Now this is where it starts. This is where my Buddha-ness kicks in.
Oh, here we go.
I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, a bit cold. You know, I got the no-show socks,
man,
which I know you don't like.
And he was doing the, like, in this weather, he was doing the no-show socks.
I could feel the breeze. Like, I could feel the breeze around my ankles.
I just felt cold looking at his ankles.
Yeah, I felt cold. Right, and then... Then obviously we eat and we think, oh, come on, roll on 10 o'clock, 10:30 to the club opens. And you ring and say, come on down. So we go to the outside of the club. That's cool. You whisk us past the security barriers. So, you know, I look at the security.
I've never seen Ministry of Sound sober.
Yeah.
And
it was such a moment to go,
oh, that's the bit where the security guards don't let you go. And we were going around the back. I was like, wow, this is amazing. And then, this is what the club looks like when the lights are on.
You took us like to the staff canteen area.
Yeah.
Right, proper backstage.
Yeah,
it was
a moment.
And obviously, and security just sitting around.
Yeah.
And no one's looking at you. No one's saying anything. You're like, wow, I'm used to getting frisked, full, you know, glove, everything. And
if I'm still standing.
Yeah, exactly.
As I go in.
Yeah, right. I'm like, oh, what happened to the muzzle? What happened to the fun bit? Okay, they're not doing that. Because we were with Satch. So in we go, and then you're playing in the main room.
Yeah.
And they got the bar bit kind of building people up. But they're going to only open the main room when the bar bit's packed out. And students, bloody students, nothing better to do. They get to the club late.
Of course they... No,
they're getting there at midnight.
That's just normal, isn't it?
Well, I didn't know that because we're in there at 10:30 now.
Tommy's expecting things to kick off at 10:30.
And I'm in an empty club. And not only that, people are putting the fans on. You had the fan on the deck.
Yeah, the fan was on.
I do like that. Anywhere I stood, that fan was blowing on my neck and on my ankles.
Tommy's nose started going.
You need the fan on. Trust me, you do. When you're there, you need the fan on.
Right. So, my point is, I stood there for an hour and a half, and then people came rushing into the room when they opened it, and it was packed instantly.
Yeah.
I'll come back to your DJ set in a minute, right?
But basically... Feedback.
Right. No, what I mean is, it was packed.
Yeah.
Then it was all fine, and we stood there, and all I can say is, fast forward... I got Divine came on about 1:30. And then about 2:15, I was like, I'm going to go. I'm done. I'm so tired. I got in the car. I was struggling to stay awake on the way home.
Oh, really?
What?
I was so tired.
Really? I was live, oh.
Yeah. How can you be tired?
I couldn't even get to bed. I was like, I'm ready to go. Still.
Really?
I was live.
Of course, I knew Kedge would be. I know, Kedge. And
was it a moment?
Kedge, when we got there, Kedge was like, I'm leaving before even Divine comes on. He goes, I'm not going to last. But I knew, because I know Kedge, I knew that he would stay.
And to be fair,
Tommy, if you didn't go, he would have stayed as well probably for a bit longer.
Oh, do you reckon?
I don't think he would have chipped out that time.
Okay. Oh, maybe I would have.
Another half an hour or so.
Yeah, maybe.
I know he would have.
Not only was I done and tired and falling asleep on the way, but mind you, I'm waking up at 5:30 to train at the moment, right? Yeah. So maybe it was a bit of a long day. But then on the way back, got back.
I was up at 5 as well.
And then the next day.
So was I.
Yeah, but I was actually doing exercise. not on TikTok.
Right.
Looking for stories.
Yeah.
And then got home and then went asleep, obviously. The next day, couldn't get out of bed till about 10:30, 11.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
Couldn't get out of bed. When I did get out of bed, all my body ached, my elbows ached. It was like my routine had been knocked out the window. And let me just finally say, I was mashed for two more days after that.
My
Friday
God.
Written
are
off.
You serious?
Saturday written off. I only just got myself together on Sunday. Meaning,
what was wrong with you?
I think I can't handle the late night.
Old age.
Old age.
No, but what? So when you say that, you know, like you got yourself together for Sunday. So what was happening to you? Like what? You felt flu-y?
Look, I might have just had a bit of a cold or whatever, but it was more the fact that I was just that late night, that one. 3 o'clock in the morning, late night.
One.
Oh, late night.
Spun me right out. And it just went, this is the effects of COVID. This is the effect of a lockdown. Mm. A nonsense lockdown, as we're now realising, right?
Yeah.
Basically, all that time, it's knocked out my clubbing stamina. And it was, honestly, I'm embarrassed. But this is a place of honesty.
You're going to start building up.
This is a place of confession. So I'm being very honest and saying, I haven't got it in me anymore. I think I've lost my party mojo.
Can I just say, I was going from Thursday till yesterday.
Wow.
Sunday.
Stop. Stamina.
Sunday was the
stamina
last.
Satch. I'm telling you, that's crazy.
Stamina
level.
Satch.
Yeah,
yes. Da-da-da-da. Stamina Satch.
Blankety blank.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, and, but God. It's just...
Did you have a good time then?
I loved it. I really... I tell you what, it was a good people watching session because a lot of the kids that
that's
were
what
there...
That's you can do.
I'd have to come back to your set.
Yeah.
Your DJ set is phenomenal.
Oh,
you are
you.
The best.
By a country mile.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm not used to having nice things said.
No,
about
I mean
you.
It.
No, but you, because we know that, you know that, and that's why we roll with you, and you know, you
no,
do
no,
stuff.
No, that's not why we
if
roll
if
with
it was
you.
Rubbish, then
see, you would, yeah, I don't think you would have lasted. No, but the fact is that you are brilliant, and that's why you did things on the show, and you know, we could get you to do things, you know, when we were on the show.
Like an appraisal.
We could get you to do
things. No, like instantly, we just go, oh, Satch, knock up that little remix for us, you know what I mean? And he does it straight away.
Or he'll go, nah, won't go.
Yeah, but at least you know you're not faffing around wasting time. But I mean you've got all you got to do is listen to other DJs, right? To then appreciate Satch and go, my God,
honestly,
Mike,
Satch, like, I would honestly say, and I'm not just saying this because you sat here.
No, exactly.
You're the best DJ I've ever heard.
Oh wow!
And I tell you, who's better than that?
You know what it is though? I'll tell you what it is because he's so good you don't even realize. That he's so effortless because you get so carried away in the dancing and in the nusha of the you know the whole nusha. Moment. Because I tell you what, a good DJ is when you don't realize they're playing. But the other DJs, what happens is they're like building up to a drop. You're building up to a drop, and then you play another song.
Yeah.
And if, I was looking forward to that drop of that song, but you just you know like the mixing is not tight enough, and like, but so I'm like, but hold a minute, you're a DJ and you don't know how to mix two songs together, so therefore, what's the difference between me and you?
Well, exactly.
But you're doing it every night, and I'm not.
Yeah.
But yet that was terrible.
I know. So I think it's one thing about reading the crowd and putting songs together.
Oh, and
that
reading the crowd. My God, you realise DJs don't look up.
No.
What are you looking down for? Your trousers are still there, don't worry. Look up and see if they're moving.
They're going to see if
that tune that you've just dropped,
they
don't even know.
So seeing as you are people watching so much, was any observations from
all of this is observation.
From watching me, like, did I do anything or was anything noticeable?
I noticed Satch. There was moments where Satch gets into the flow and then he goes off on one, right? And he really bounces to the music, like, and I've never seen Satch do that. And I thought that was quite nice.
Oh, yeah, I know. Funny you say that. I noticed it as he came off the decks. There was something played and he was bopping his head.
Yeah.
And I looked over and I thought, I didn't make a thing of it. I thought, I don't even think I've ever seen him bop his head.
Yeah, it was the little bops.
Satch is so minimal.
Where he goes into his flow.
Yeah, like he doesn't, like me and you were like, oh yeah. We express it all that, you know, whatever. But Satch would just go, sick tune, whatever, that's it, right? Oh, it's a good tune. But anyway, you were like, you were bopping to it. I was like, oh, that's the most I've ever seen him express dance. But no, the songs. So where have I experienced the greatest DJs? Like, in my mind, I think it's like Vegas, right? Where they put such a mega mix of music together.
Yep.
It's house, it's R&B, it's hip hop. And then they'll throw in something random like, I don't know, like a Guns N' Roses song, and every other place just erupts because Americans or whatever. But I think you did the same with your Bollywood. You got roar after roar after roar after roar, and it was just so the crowd actually.
I'm going to say this.
Go on.
Pound for pound, there is not another DJ who can play a Bollywood set better than Satch.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Guys, you're really being nice.
Well, because you don't ever hear.
I'm not used to it. What 170 odd episodes in?
Now, I'm going to say there's three DJs in the world who can make me dance like an absolute madman.
Timmy Mallett.
Satch.
Okay. Pat Sharp.
Jags Climax did it once.
Okay, yeah.
Right, at a mate's wedding. And because that was the first time I heard of Jags Climax DJing. And I was like, who is this bloke? And he was brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's the same stylist of you know, mashing stuff. And DJ Sugetu in India. Like, three people who make me, honestly, would make me take my clothes off and just dance.
Don't do that. We don't want that.
Next level.
I think you would have fit in with the crowd. Probably. Because actually, when Divine came on and he did a little shout, he went, oh, yeah, are they Mumbai ki log hai, or whatever. And the women roared. So they're all from Mumbai. He went, Dilli. And then he actually went, where's my mother Punjabis?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, look at that.
And then I was getting ready.
Yeah.
Gujarati, Manso, Kyan Chobre. And he didn't even acknowledge the Gujarati.
I put in a complaint.
Did you?
Yeah, to the minister at the Ministry of Sound.
Thank you.
Yeah, to the Prime Ministry of Sound.
I was expecting a Gujarati shout, but
it was good to see him because we ain't seen him Divine perform in a while.
Yeah. And he's grown, and he's
changed.
He's a proper artist now. From do you remember when we first saw him and he did the little rap for us over Festa Skank?
Yeah.
And then he came down and he did the Charlie Sloth video for all that. He was still very, what was the word?
Fresh.
Oh, completely like new.
But not aware, but now he looks like he's bossing that in the whole industry.
He's
now
seasoned.
Yeah.
So he's done those gigs so many times that he knows how to do a small, look, I say a small
working
room like
the
that.
Crowd better.
He's right there in front of him. He's like 1 yard away from the crowd.
Yeah.
And then he can do concerts and arenas.
So
like, no,
you coming to the next one then?
Oh my God, am I coming to the next one?
I don't think so.
You know what the next one is, don't you?
Where?
No, but like the next one is basically
Kedge's
dream event.
There's a few before that, Kedge.
Oh.
But yeah, I'm just saying. I'm talking about the dream event.
What's the dream event?
It's the Desi Garage event.
The Desi Garage event?
I'm not doing it, but I will be there.
Okay.
Oh, you're not DJing?
I'm not going to be there.
Kedge will be all over that DJ. You know what? You are the best DJ.
I saw the lineup, I sent it to Kedge and I was like, Kedge, did you put this rave together?
It's all of it.
But that rave, you're going for the pure performances.
I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Is it UK, like English Western Garage?
No, Desi Garage. Desi Bungra Garage. Okay. It's got all my friends
Gubby,
in it.
Gubby's there.
Gubby's there.
Whoa. Gubby.
Yeah. Okay. Mets and Tricks.
His squad.
I'd like to go for that then.
Surinderan.
PMC.
Yeah.
Lember.
Yeah. I mean, Mets and Tricks.
Where's that?
Shepherd's Bush Empire.
Yeah.
Oh, when's that?
Would no, I ain't taking you, Tommy, your tools.
No, you didn't.
Should I give it to you quickly? Line up. B21, yeah. Gubby Sandu, brilliant. Juggy D.
Yeah. Oh, Juggy, Lember, of course.
Lember, Mets and Tricks, Punjabi Hit Squad, PMC, Surinderan.
That's all my wet dreams in one.
Yeah, you know what? And I'd quite happily say, a lot of those are friends.
Yeah, most of them. I'm going anyway. No, I'm not working that day, and I'm going out.
Thank you, Satch, for driving.
And
you're coming,
if it's Shepherd's Bush, I could pick you up.
Yeah, there you go.
But we're coming round.
Don't worry about picking up. I'll get there.
He's set off now. He's going to camp outside.
That was just my Thursday. And then since after that, I've still been DJing. So you guys obviously came to the big one. Then I'm still doing bits. Like, you know, my weekend finished yesterday. On a Monday, I'm here doing a podcast.
I don't know how you do it. Aren't you good tired? Man. How are you feeling?
I am, but it is. You know what?
I'll be honest, you can do it now, Satch. You're in your early 30s, right?
Oh, don't give him the.
No,
I'm telling
you, it'll
change. It'll just change it.
No, I don't,
listen,
I don't think
in
so.
My mind, I'm still like, yeah, Tommy Sandu, good, let's go.
I actually feel like.
I can't do it. I feel like
I'm dealing with it better now than I was before. Yeah.
See? Well, maybe you're peeking out before you bow out. Maybe, I don't know. Like,
Let's see.
I'm telling you, it's
but,
be
but
tough.
I think, and also, can I just say, obviously, like you said, it was a long time that we've all been out and, you know, in a club and a rave and all of this kind of thing. And it just, you know, we all just had that moment where we all thought, oh, so COVID's disappeared.
Yeah, everyone. This room was jam-packed. And everyone was breathing. And there was not a mask in sight.
Yeah.
That's why the fan on.
Yeah.
Fans on, and yeah. Obviously we didn't go into the melee of. I mean, I think if we had gone into the melee of the crowd,
I wouldn't let you do that.
Yeah, no, we would have been. We would have got
this melee. What
no, like the whole crowd. Melee.
He wasn't in the
melee.
You like, were no. The melee is an English word from France, obviously.
An English word from France.
Yeah, but they use it in English language.
Kedge could have been in the mosh pit if he wanted to.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think we would definitely got COVID. But I got a COVID alert literally Friday morning.
The day after,
yeah,
you've been in close proximity.
Yeah,
what were you tagging in and out still?
Well, this is what
do
I was going to
say.
You
still have that?
That's, no,
and this
that.
Is this is the thought process I was having. It's like I must be the only Lulu who's still got this on.
Yeah. Well, no, clearly someone else has as well because if they've given you a.
So yeah. I'm like,
so there was two people in there with it.
Well, so no, but it, obviously then I checked what the date was, and it was Wednesday, and it meant football night.
Oh,
and then on Friday,
that's
evening,
where you get it from.
And Friday evening, one of the guys goes. I'm down with the old Rona. And I thought, here we go. I was nowhere near him and I tested and I'm fine. But you know what? For a minute, I thought, here we go.
How are you nowhere near him on a football? He must have been near him on a football
team. No. Because he was against me for a start.
Yeah.
And then I play defence and he wasn't coming anywhere near me because he was having an absolute nightmare of a game. So he was playing
because he had Corona. Yeah.
Maybe that was probably it. He was terrible. It was shockingly terrible.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, maybe.
But
what about the showers when you're like there? No,
don't shower there.
Okay, fine. I don't know how close you get.
No. None of that business.
I mean, to be fair, the last, I'd say, week or so, I actually know a handful of people that are getting it again.
It seems like it's on the resurgence.
I think so. It does. This is just from
my
own market research of people I know.
Correct.
People are getting it.
I'm in that same market research as you. I think people are getting it all over again.
And I'm a bit scared.
And there's some. So apparently the news from India is that they've already predicted that the fourth wave is going to be in June in India. So for that fourth wave to happen in India, it means it's got to come from us first. So therefore, I reckon
May,
late April, we might be in it again. And all of a sudden, it just seems like it's rising again. I know a few people have got it, and it's taking longer for it to come out of your body.
Yeah,
I shook it off. I was literally negative on the fourth day. But now people have still got it in their body day 10, day 11.
I've heard people say that they had it early on when it started, and they're still feeling the same effects now, getting it the second time.
Wow.
Which is quite scary.
Yeah, it is a little bit. I think we've got to be a little bit careful.
I don't know if this is connected, but after that Ministry of Sound night, Saturday, so day after that, I went to my missus, look, and I was going, actually, it's all right now, but then.
don't breathe on
that. No, it's on the mic. But it would make a wheezy sound. It was how do you recreate wheezy? Yeah. And that's one of the COVID.
Oh, wow.
But I'm all right now.
Okay.
But I think people are getting it, but it's not as serious. That's what I was going to say. It's not it's not the heavy one. It's not as bad as it was.
Ideally,
people aren't dropping like they were.
Yeah, no, but I think ideally, we just want to have it full stop anyway. Do you see what I mean?
I think it's here to stay now. That's it.
Let's just try to avoid it if we can.
Live with it, work with it. But look, we're healthy, we're good. We're fit now. I'm recovered. Yeah. I'm ready for another ministry in about 3 months' time.
Really?
Yeah, I reckon that's 3 months.
Okay.
Well, I'm doing one in a couple of weeks. You ain't gonna come.
No, probably not that one. But it was great to be there. Honestly, I've got to say that. And it's lovely to see live music and live people and everyone out and about.
Did you think about having a munch after?
I toyed around with it. I was just too tired.
Okay.
And also, we'd eaten just beforehand.
Yeah, but that was 6 hours before.
But
I had cereal when I got in.
Did you?
About 5:30.
Oh, wow.
Late night cereal. Hot, do you warm it up?
No, it was cold.
And what kind of cereal did you go for?
I had Special K.
I just forgot to say, I wasn't going to mention this, but today, Monday, we're recording this podcast, it's National Cereal Day. So it's funny you're mentioning your cereal.
I had cereal today.
Special K. With cold milk. No sugar added.
Cold milk. No,
honey.
No. I have almond milk, the one that kid bought today.
I brought my own milk.
He brought his own milk. And he brought it. No, tell you what happened. Let me just show how conjuiced this one is, right?
How is that conjuiced?
Let me just tell you.
Put a padlock on it?
It's got a security seal, you know, like you get across the top.
It's got a code
on it. It's got infrared rays and you break the little laser. What? No, he comes around and he went, because the last couple of weeks he's been around.
Yeah.
And he's had a coffee from my coffee machine.
Which is a brilliant coffee.
It's a nice coffee, right? And it's just an espresso machine, but it's just a simple machine. But it's a nice coffee, it comes out. But you like it with your almond milk, right? Almond or almond? It is almond.
Yeah. Almond.
You say almond, like Great
it's
Almond
Mark
Street.
Almond, the musician. But this is almond.
Who's Mark Orme?
Mark Badam is a singer. He's a famous song, you know, but I can't think of it at the moment. I don't know what the words are, but yeah, no, he's a good.
That's sometimes I feel like that.
Boom, boom.
That's not him.
Well done for getting it from that, Tommy.
That's Tainted Love.
Yeah, that's him.
By Soft Cell or something like that.
No, that's him.
It's Soft Cell.
That's him.
But the singer from it is Mark Badam.
Mark Badam, he sang it.
Wicked name.
Absolutely. God. But back to the food.
Anyway, he comes over with his banana milk, right? Because I don't have that banana milk anymore. I used to have it when I used to drink more milk, but now I've just kind of cut most milk out anyway.
Yeah.
And he went, okay, he comes weeks in a row. Got any almond milk? I ain't got any.
Almond.
Got any almond milk? No, I ain't got any. Got any almond milk? No, I ain't got any.
Yeah.
So this time he goes, look what I brought. Almond milk.
God, he's doing that.
And I went, oh, well done. Right, thinking, oh, great. Yeah. I get some almond milk out of him. He goes, there's only a little bit left. I thought I'd bring it over and have it for my milk.
Literally
had a dribble left in it.
It was literally enough for me. No. What? What do you mean, Kedge?
Why would I bring dude
in the first place? I thought you guys were going to laugh at me for bringing my own dude. Well, but there was only a little bit, and I knew that I'd use it and chuck the bowl.
But even if you did bring it, you could just bring a full one and be like, "Here, Tommy, just keep it."
Keep it here, and I'll have it next week. It lasts for 3 weeks.
Exactly.
You can have it for the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, not even longer.
No, because I need the full milk.
And Tommy, you can have some of it, seeing as it's in your fridge.
No, because you guys have that full fat dude, and you have all this.
He basically came here, got his dude out, and then put it away just for him to play with.
I finished it.
I think that's out of order.
There you go. No, but well done. No, at least he came equipped. Well done.
I came equipped, and yeah, there we go. Made my coffee taste really amazing. But what I want to know is, how do you make your chip butty taste amazing?
Oh, chip butty.
Because the story this week in the news is, and this is, I mean, this was incredible when I was reading this. Scientists have finally come up, not just any old cook or any old chef. This is scientists. They've come up with a new formula to help Brits make the perfect chip butty. Did you read this?
No.
Right. So the formula is, according to scientists, the ultimate butty must have 12 freshly cooked, chunky, straight cut chips between two medium slices of buttered white bread.
Okay, you're going bread. See, that's interesting. Dollop,
with a dollop of ketchup.
Interesting.
A study found that butty fans were using 7 or 8 chips, which...
You said butty fans.
That's what they're known as.
Yeah, but...
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. A study found butty fans were using... I'm obviously working with children here. We're using 7 or 8 chips, which was said to be too few.
Butty fans? This is what you say as well.
What's wrong with it? Butty fans.
What do butty fans like?
And so according to the amount of bread, and so also they weren't allowing the butter to melt, and then they were softening the bread, and it's just not the right way. So statistician Dr. James Hind of Nottingham Trent University, because that's what they do, all the important stuff at Nottingham Trent, led a team that developed a formula for frozen food chain Iceland based on all these survey of 2,000 Brits and how they create it. And the team found out that 60 grams of chips is what you need to 40 grams of bread.
Okay.
And that is the holy grail formula for the chip butty world.
Okay. Number one,
yeah,
not between two slices of bread.
Yeah, isn't it? I was going to say that, isn't it?
That's not a
button. I mean, I have done it between two slices of bread.
I'm sure you have. But it was in your single days. You were bored. You're in your dormitory at grammar school. You just do it in two slices of bread.
I have done it, but it's not the preferred option.
No, of course
not.
What do you prefer?
What is your preferred?
I do love a bap.
Yeah.
But come on. It's got to be done between a bat, hasn't it?
Yeah. So you and would you butter the bat before you stick
it
in?
Yeah, I think it's got to be buttered.
Silly. All right. So when I used to go swimming, it's a memory that stuck with me for life. When I was about 8, 9 years old, and we used to all go with your cousins. I'm surprised actually, my mum let us like just go. She'd give us like about £1, and that would be 15p for the bus. To get there and back, get a little return. It'd be like 30p to swim.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the money went on a chip butty.
Chip butty.
What you got for that?
Out of a quid.
Absolutely. Because the chip butty would have been 50p max.
Yeah, and you're looking at 1988. No, I'm born in 76. 1984, 85.
Oh,
I weren't even born.
Yeah.
No, I didn't even know about money then. Yeah.
Right. And so we're going off, in East Ham, East London, we go and do that. There's a little chip shop there, Peter's Chip Shop.
Yeah.
And I remember the guy there who made me a chip butty.
Mm.
And firstly, he got a fresh loaf of bread, crusty bread. Cut it in half.
Mm. Oh, yeah, crusty's good.
Scooped out all the dough. Cut in with a knife. Took all the dough out the inside.
Yeah.
Then buttered the inside of the crusty loaf. So you got a little bit of bread. It's not all just crust. A little bit like you've got a centimetre of bread. But all the actually doughy bit in the middle of the bread is gone. So you've got a hollow crusty
But there is
loaf.
A layer there. So it's not a complete whole.
No, yeah. It's because it's a loaf that's not sliced. So imagine you've cut the slow.
Oh, okay.
So you can take in a whole loaf.
This is a bit strange, yeah.
Cut it down the middle.
Yeah. What did he do in that bread?
Buttered all the inside.
This sounds like that Pizza Express pizza where they cut the middle bit out and put a salad in.
No. You got a loaf of bread. You've chopped it down the middle, right? So you now holding
half a loaf
of bread.
You're holding half a bread,
and then he scoops all the bread out the inside.
That's a lot of scoopage.
Yeah, fair enough. But if you just run the knife in a
no, but I'm saying, but that, so yeah,
for what
fine.
Yeah. Okay. Then what do you fill it with?
He butters it.
Yeah.
Butters the walls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then he fills it with chips.
Right.
Oh, and then you eat the whole thing like that.
The whole rasp thing.
Oh,
you squish how it. Do you even get that in your mouth?
No, you squish it. You squish it.
Yeah, you squish it.
And then it was there. It was
but
there.
That's still a lot of bread, though, yeah, to get into your mouth.
No, it's crust. It's really, it's just crust wrapped around the outside. Yeah.
Okay. But that, I mean, that. What I'm trying to say is, if you took a bite of that, you would be chewing for a while.
Yeah, you are. But because of the hot chip and the butteredness, it goes a bit softer.
Soft,
yeah.
Right.
And what he told me then and there was, he goes, you put the salt on at the top. He goes, then you put the vinegar, and the vinegar will wash the salt down to the bottom.
Right.
And the bit at the bottom, that bottom bit of bread, has got the salt, the vinegar, and the last couple of chips. Oh. So my point is, that for me is the ultimate chip butty. Yeah. Until I said to someone else, I think it was Simon Sandu, he goes, you know what would be nicer than that?
What?
He goes, if you layered a wall of cheese on the inside.
Yeah.
A cheese wall.
And then you put the chips inside, cheese so that melts into the bread.
Cheese wall would be lovely in there, mate.
So
I'm struggling to get that into my mouth, though.
Oh, by the way, the loaf, sorry, I should point this out, this is key.
Because a baguette loaf, is manageable.
No, but the loaf wasn't the big loaf. It was you know the smaller loaves
tin,
that you
like
get?
A tin.
Yeah, the tin loaves. It was that size.
Oh, it's still a big bite, though.
Yeah, but you could squish it down, you just go at it, and it holds all together, and it is a bit.
I think that's that, I mean. Epic. Can you make that next week?
Oh, you know, I think we should. But you need, firstly, what I tell you what you need as well, to make chips at home as well, and I do make chips at home, you need the fresh dale, clean dale.
Oh, yeah, well, I'll bring remnants. The dale. I'll bring, this week I brought the dud, next week I'll bring dale. Don't worry about that.
Lovely.
The whole container, yeah. The round
he's going to bring almond dale. Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to make a statement about chip butties.
Oh, here we go. It's a statement. It's a statement.
Hold on. It's statement Satch. Statement Satch. Statement Satch. What is it? And his black and white cat. No. But basically, we realise Satch just makes statements everywhere he goes, right? So you go on, sum it up.
I don't like chip butties.
He's just said it. God. He doesn't like it.
I tell you why I don't like it.
It's carbon.
No, I don't think you've had a proper one.
No, I have. I've tried them. I just don't like bread and potatoes.
Oh. No, I know what you mean by that.
So then what about...
Because it's kind of like the same thing for me. Do you see what I mean? And
I
it's
know
like,
what you mean.
Then it get,
what about parwara?
No, but that's different because...
Well, that's
like,
potato and bread.
No, but that's different because, like, I mean, a chip butty is still like bread and chips and it's not really... There's not really much flavour going on.
It's a sliced parwara.
It's just... No, but that's different, isn't it? Because that's like a patty, really.
I absolutely get what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I have. I can't think of what it is now, but I have a similar sensation. Like, I can't have that.
What age
that.
Did you think?
It's the same and the same one together.
Like, my mates, when they're veggie and then they go to the kebab shop, they get chips and a pita.
Oh, that is the best
thing
I
just
to get.
Can't get my head around
with
that.
With all of those really hot onions.
Yeah, the onions are more oniony than ever, aren't they?
Yeah. No, mate.
And your breath stinks. I love it.
I just get chips if that's the case. I don't want it in a pita.
Oh. I tell you what, doner meat on chips is...
No, but that's different. Oh. You're throwing in doner meat, isn't it?
I tell you what, a bit of lettuce on chips.
Yeah, it's true. Lettuce, mayonnaise, the chips, garlic sauce.
No, man, you don't do it.
Oh, yeah.
Garlic sauce. I'd rather just have chips, then you put the salt and vinegar on it, and then you put the salad and a bit of mayo. I'll be happy
Satch,
with that.
Have you had the chip butty from that famous shop in Leicester?
No, I haven't.
I'm going to take you there.
Okay.
And it is...
Thank you, Gedge.
It's a day out to Leicester.
That chip butty is world-renowned. Yeah, and it is incredible.
Is it because it's desiccated?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's not that's not proper chip butty. You've already gone varapa.
It's just going to be chili sauce.
No. So he puts a layer of cheese in there. It's buttered. He puts the chips in there. He's got like a relish thing in there. Well, he's got onions and all of that kind of stuff. He's got a special chutney sauce in it. It is incredible, and it's
chutney.
Those fresh.
You don't need to put
chutney. No, not chutney
it,
like that. But it's like a tomato-y red chutney. Tommy's going to love it. Coriander. onions. My God.
He's pushing me. You're going to love it, Tommy.
You're going to love it. Coriander, you've lost me there, mate. Yeah. Did they put the fart powder on it?
No, don't say they do that.
Fart powder
no,
out.
Why do they do that?
No, don't do that.
You know what the fart powder is?
They're called Hajmullah. That's what it's called in the tin.
Wait till the English figure out that. The Desi chip butty, because they didn't do this survey with, you know, asking Desis. Nottingham didn't get down to Leicester and ask them about that. But that chip butty is game changer.
I know people do like, sorry to make Desi chip butties. It just made me think. I know people do like pakora sandwich. They do like, you know, like get the pakora and put them in buttered bread, like the way you're saying.
Okay, I don't know about that. Yeah. I've never tried it. I'm willing to give it a go.
With ketchup and stuff. Similar kind of sensation of like, you know, that kind of crispy friedness inside the bread. And I'll tell you what I did the other day was I refried, only because, okay, so our local caterers around here, I'm going to give them a little mention because they do the best, I think, the one of the, the best samosas in East London.
In my end
of East London.
Have we had them?
Oh yeah, we've had them.
And they're the ones we get at all the parties, and when we kind of lay out.
Did you bring them to work once?
Yes.
Yes.
Sat caterers is what they're called, right? Right. They're simple sort of caterers, right? S A double T, little shop.
Oh, sat.
Yeah, right. Sat caterers.
Like the exams.
Yeah, right. S A T T double T, right? Yes. But great samosa and all that. And I always tell, like, if I'm honest, I tell my non-Asian friends. Yeah, veggie. They do some meat stuff as well now. They didn't used to, and these samosas are great. I remember saying to him, I said, you've smashed it with the samosa, right? The guy who works there. And he goes, not only that, he goes, if you get a load, even though they're made, stick them in the freezer. He goes, warm them up, refry them, stick them in the oven, they come out banging. I took a couple out of the freezer the other day. Refried them.
Oh, so he's already cooked them?
They're cooked. And you'd think, once you've cooked it, you can't stick that back in at anything. With pastry, don't you find? You can't re-warm it up. Yeah. But these ones, I dropped into the fryer. I was making homemade chips. And which, by the way, I have to force my kids to eat. Eat your chips. Oh, we don't like these chips. We just want the oven ones. I'm like,
your chips are fresh.
No, but
your
they're not
chips
they're good.
Are dead.
And I'm like, me and my missus had them. We're like, we're loving. We're going, and I'm like, these are the ones. They're fresh, crispy,
clearly they don't
fluffy.
Like them.
Yeah, kids.
Sad.
Well, anyway.
Sad. Sounds like Kedge and the pizza thing again.
Yeah, what exactly. I'm grateful.
Where you cussed his pizza.
Yeah.
Now
his kids
are cussing the chips.
Maybe they're giving
him
some feedback.
Can you make some chips next week? I want to try your 100%. Homemade
chips. No, he's and making his bread
I'm
thing.
Making the chip butty.
Oh, okay.
He's making the chip butty.
We're doing both. I'll do some fresh chips on the side.
And I'll make the Desi one. We'll all have a little taste.
Okay, fine. Brilliant.
The Desi butty.
The Desi butty.
That's a DJ.
Yeah.
Is he playing
DJ Desi Butty?
You keep your Desi Butty to yourself,
it's great,
mate.
It's great.
I think it's all right. So from butty to belly.
Okay.
Oh, because it's what you have after you have
Well, I want to tell you about the belly button quiz, boys.
Ooh. Oh.
And I thought, you know what?
Is it guess the belly button?
Have you got pictures of belly buttons?
No. That'd be a good game, wouldn't
it? Yeah, whose belly button is
Excuse me, I swear, right? Can I just take a photo of your belly button? Because we're going to use it for a competition.
Security, get off me!
If you did that to her...
But can you imagine going to ask Salman Khan, can I take a photo of your belly button? Salman Khan's got quite a deep one, and I think it's horizontal.
Like a letterbox.
Yeah, I think Salman Khan's one's like that.
What do you mean, like a letterbox?
I think I show Rye's got a round one, not too deep. And maybe vertical, slightly. I'm guessing. I don't know. I've not seen it recently.
People have got really good tummy muscles. Really their deep. Ones are like pulled wide open.
No, I don't think it's a muscle thing. I think it's just what you're stuck with. Like from the way they've cut it.
No.
Okay.
That's funny because sometimes you get like those kind of beer belly people at the football who got their did out, proper big did, and they got an outy belly button. So you're right.
I think they're where to cut it. I think it's where. So here we go. So the story this week is.
We're now looking at a picture of people's holes, just in a belly button holes.
Some of them are hairy.
Looking at your screen there, Kej, it looks a bit rude.
Show us.
Don't look at my screen yet. Wait.
Oh, okay.
So there are six types of belly buttons.
Okay.
That's it. They've narrowed it down to just six. And they all basically mean something different about the person. They will reveal certain features about you.
Like characteristics.
Yeah, characteristics. Okay. So you know, a lot of people think that your haircut is your biggest show of personality. People judge you by your haircut.
Yeah.
Or your face.
Your jawline, your nose shape, your trim, or
that kind of thing. But it's not. It's all in the humble belly button.
So you're saying is on like a first date or something, someone should go, "Can I see your belly button?
Can I see your belly button?
I need to know what kind of person you are.
Do we need a t-shirt with the hole cut in?
Maybe that's like the second question.
Can you handle?
Do you drink alcohol? Can I see your belly button?
Yeah. Can you handle someone putting their finger in your belly button?
Oh my, you can't be anywhere near my belly button. You are getting a kick in the face.
I know. I just react.
I can't. I can't touch my own belly, but no, I let yeah, anyone else. Because no, yeah. I think I'll get the worst stomachache.
Yeah. Can I tell you something? I feel sick, boy.
Yeah, I feel sick. You know, even at the thought of anyone. Yeah, oh, Sash, don't do that.
Give me a little poke.
No, but sometimes I could do, like, I give it a little clean, right?
You know,
like,
you have to do that.
But, no, yeah. But I have to, like, hold my breath.
No, yeah, exactly. But I can't handle that moment.
I can't handle it.
You're talking about your belly button. There's some other hole.
Honestly.
Do you know which one the belly button is, Kedge?
Yes. It's the one that hurts a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, good. Okay, yeah.
So whether you have an innie or an outie, a little hole can determine if you'll be a good partner.
Okay, right.
And
right.
Even how long you might live for,
according
to experts.
Yeah, okay.
So do you want to quickly, do you guys know what kind of belly button shape you've got?
Yeah. No, but what are the options if you say this round down to six?
So I'll go through the options. Yeah. You've got a protruding navel, otherwise known as an outie.
I'm not going to.
Okay,
so deep and round navel.
Yeah, probably on that one so far.
Mm. Okay, vertical, which is, like I said, I've got vertical oblong navel.
No.
A horizontal navel, which is what Salman Khan, I think, has. Nope. An off-center navel.
No.
No.
Okay. Oval shape.
Oh, it might be a bit ovally, but no, I don't think so. I think it's round. It's more round.
Shall I show you the oval shape? So there we go. We've got oval shape.
No, definitely not that.
Right. No. And then you've got off-center, which is obviously kind of just tilting to the side. And then you've got a deep one, and then you've got a horizontal, and an outie, and a vertical. So those are your six.
Oh, well, the thing is, they're all on people with very flat stomachs. So mine's kind of like, obviously.
Well, we don't know that.
No, but I'm not looking at those pictures.
Yeah, but you can't tell if they're flat stomachs or not.
They look fairly flat stomached.
No, you can tell.
The hairy one might not be.
Was that hair? I thought it was like creases in the skin.
What else could it be?
I don't know. Yeah, now that you said that, it looked like
so can
round,
we...
round. I am definitely round. Out of all of them, I probably that.
What's there isn't a round.
Round and deep.
The number two.
Deep.
Option number two.
Okay. Yeah, is that deep. You as Satch as well?
Yeah,
I think so.
Okay, so deep and round navel. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
This navel shape indicates a modest, even-tempered person with a big heart.
Big heart, that's us.
And a quiet, shy personality.
Definitely, deep down, that's what
Satch,
I am.
You.
Shut up. When it comes down to it, I just know how to deal with shyness on stage. I'm actually a very sensitive
They don't
person.
Tell loved ones.
Tommy is actually quite a shy person, you know.
Exactly. I don't push myself in people's face unless I'm on stage.
Yes.
I don't.
No, he's right. He's like, right.
Okay, well,
can I carry on?
If no one knows, he just keeps himself to himself.
I would happily.
Can I carry on?
Yeah.
They don't tend to tell loved ones and peers about their misfortunes in life. I think that is both of you.
All of a sudden, we've got loads of misfortunes in life.
and are you? And here's the key moment.
Yeah.
Your average life expectancy.
Go on.
81 years old.
Oh, I'll take that.
Yeah, it's all right. 81. Yeah, 81's good.
So, if I had to go with it, I would have to go with
outie.
Deep. No, mine's kind
same.
Of deep.
Is it off center?
No. No, it's actually quite perfect. So. I would have to go down. I can't see it being any other. Maybe, no, it's not even horizontal, I don't think.
Can you give us a couple of lines for the others then?
Yeah, so what are you? Yeah.
All right, well, let's just say for the sake of argument, maybe I'm slightly vertical, according to this. It's not oval. I'll go slightly vertical.
Okay.
So for the point of this, slightly vertical, oblong navel, this shape of the navel is narrow and thin and apparently indicates a confident, generous and emotional stable person. Average life expectancy, 75.
Okay, you've got somebody else's belly button, basically what we're going to establish.
No,
like that.
I think that kind of fits me. Okay. An off-center one, your average life expectancy is 70 and it's basically your fun-loving, unique personality, prone to mood swings, often with heightened emotion.
Okay, what about outies? Outie people.
Outies. Is that a common one?
I'm going to say it. I don't think Desi people have outies.
Oh.
I've not met a brown person with an outie.
No, but that just depends on the surgeon who's cut your umbilical cord.
I've not met a brown person with an outie. Why can't I say that?
Well, because you haven't seen every brown person's outie belly button.
I think I've seen a few in my time.
Okay, so
I don't think I have.
So an outie or a protruding navel is a belly button which sticks out, demonstrates a strong, extroverted, optimistic character who is stubborn, a fan of the limelight, this sounds like Tommy, and preserves to get what they want. People who have an outie give their beliefs and opinions a great deal of thought and stick by them. This is Tommy. It takes them time to find a compatible partner.
No.
Yeah. But once they do, their relationship is expected to be a long one. Life expectancy, 72.
Oh, no, I would rather live to 81 and be the shy guy.
So there we go. Check out your belly button.
Outie people are just outies because they've been hung by their umbilical cord when they were born.
I think they've cut more of it so that by the there's a bit hanging out, and so by the time you grow up, it's still an outie. Whereas I think obviously I'm not a surgeon. If you hadn't guessed,
clearly. Really. This isn't medically backed up by you, Cage.
No.
Get it then.
But I think you, the reason you get an innie is because they cut it quite close to your stomach.
Because I've also not
And the knot is a bit close to the thing, so it just sucks in.
It's only people with flat stomachs that have an outie.
You just said all of these are flat stomachs, none of them are outie.
Yeah, no, but only people who, if you've got an outie, you need to have a flat stomach to have an outie. You can't have an outie and have a chubby stomach. Do you see what I mean?
I don't know.
I've not really come across many outies.
I don't think
outies.
You can go with that at all.
No, if you've got rolls of fat, look, I've got rolls of did, right? There's no way an outie's got to work four times as hard to get it out. Do you see what I'm saying?
No, but if you've got a lot of hover in there, then...
Hover's different. Hover's different. If you've got beer belly, like hover round, like that kind of bloatiness.
Like, let's just say a Newcastle United fan.
Yeah, right. For example, don't...
You're
Newcastle.
Saying that they can't have an outie.
They can have an outie because it's pushed out. It's all round. But if it's...
That doesn't make sense, Tommy.
You just contradict yourself.
No, because if you've got folds of fat, those guys... It looks firm. If you slapped it,
solid. It'll be like a ball.
Yeah, you get like a dawn sound.
So you're saying they have an outie?
They can have an outie, but right. If you've got rolls, like I've got rolls.
I don't know. I don't think it's
you
that
can't
clear
have an outie.
No, I don't think.
I think you can get people with flat stomachs who can have an outie as well.
Yeah, that's.
I've just. I don't really know.
If you've got a flat stomach and you got an outie, just email us.
No, that's what I'm saying. Flat stomach people can have an outie.
No, but you.
Right? But if you've got rolls of fat, then you ain't going to have an outie.
Well, if you've got rolls of fat, just...
With an outie, no
You
way.
Don't need to send a photo, just let us know.
No, send it.
Just to prove Tommy wrong.
Number one, Bushy Lane. He wants outie pictures. He's got a belly button.
No, so there we go. Anyway, dirty so boy. That's the life expectancy for all of us.
Okay.
Well, before we go outie, we need to do everything that we do every week, and that is...
Things we learn. Right, okay. Shall I go first?
Go on then.
Because we're going with the body parts thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a good one. I actually Googled this because I saw Logan and Milo doing something.
Right.
And I thought, that's interesting. Why do people do that?
Mm.
And what they were doing, they were playing Mario and we're all playing together.
Where they're throwing your chips out the window.
No. They had their mouth open, wiggling their tongues.
Right? Oh, yeah. I've seen a lot of kids do that. I've seen a lot of kids do that.
And also,
Ben still does that.
Even when you're concentrating on something,
I know a lot of adults who do that.
Yeah.
You move your tongue around.
I see adults do that.
Right?
Because you think it's a controller?
Huh?
Does it automatically think that it's a controller?
No. It's not trying to control it. But what are your theories, firstly? Any theories on this?
I think it's something to do with when you're trying to concentrate and then you can't... Your senses are focused on that one thing, that other things just happen randomly.
You're very close, actually, in a way. So what? I'll tell you why you're close. It's because apparently the tongue, this article is quite long, saying about the tongue and how it is used for lots of different emotions and sometimes more so than any other part of your body. You can use the tongue quite a lot. But when you're concentrating on something highly, you take your tongue out of your mouth so your brain isn't processing taste buds, digestion, isn't thinking about food, and also is less likely to talk.
That's interesting.
So it's to take the distraction of taste and talk away, and now I'm just, I'm full focus. And it's like an involuntary thing. Your body just does it. You're going to go, hold a minute, I've got to focus on this. Take that tongue out. The tongue is interfering with my business. And it gets it out of the way. I think that's a cool thing I learned, man.
That is cool.
But what happens if you don't do that? I don't do that.
Well, no, you can keep it in your mouth, but effectively your brain is still processing taste buds stuff.
Right.
So it's getting in the way of full concentration.
Oh, yes. Interesting.
So next time, put your tongue out.
Hang your tongue out.
Hang your tongue out just to kind of focus on something. Like, and that's why they say musicians do it. You know when they're really in the moment, and they're playing the drum, they're hitting the drums, because they're just focused on that. It's just when you're focusing on something, the tongue just gets...
Next time
out.
I'm DJing, I'm going to put my tongue out.
Yeah, whack your tongue out.
Michael Jordan was renowned for it because when he said dunk, he just poked his tongue out. But I think that was more of like a war thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like certain footballers do it when they celebrate, but that's just like a...
He does it on the way to the dunk, so I don't know if that was a concentration thing.
Okay, fine. No. Go on, Saj.
Shall I go with my thing that I've learned? The thing that I learned this week is, what is the most thrown away takeaway item ever?
Oh, okay. What you mean, like leftover from the food?
Yeah, pizza. Like, so
Whenever you order something,
yeah, pizza crusts.
What is the? It's not pizza crust.
Okay, hold a minute. Okay, let's think. What kind of food is it going to be? Indian?
No, it's just takeaway in general.
It's got to be English food takeaway. English food takeaway.
Oh, but you'll say he's Satch goes is takeaway in general.
Salad, yeah. salad. Like you know, like
close. It's not salad though.
Bread, pita bread.
No.
People eat that.
Shall I say it? Chips.
Oh, after all that chip butty chat.
Yeah, with everything, you order chips, don't you, really? And realistically, if you get a kebab or whatever, something and chips, you're going to eat the main thing first, aren't you? And then you're going to fill yourself up and then, you know, the chips kind of get sidelined.
And I'm just going to add this and say then, really, chips can make or break the meal because if you often get takeaway chips, by the time you get them back, they might have dried out, might have gone soggy. Or might have lost their heat. And that's it. If they're not thousand, if they're not fresh, they're not happening.
This was the data that was revealed. 72% of takeaway lovers always have chips left over from their meal.
And that's sad.
That is quite sad. When I read that, I was like, that's a lot of wastage.
Yeah, you know what? I'm that idiot, though. I ain't going to lie. I'm the idiot that gets the food for everyone, and then goes...
Four large chips.
No, I'll just go, a really large portion. He goes, we only go up to, £2. I go, give me the £3 version. Just load it up. And then I get there, and then you open it up, and you think, it's going to go. And then everyone has a few chips. You look at it, you think, half of it's left. What are we gonna do? So then I try and pick at the chips before I even sit down.
Yeah.
And fill up on the chips.
I feel sorry for them.
Messed
chips.
It up. Well, no.
I think it's because, number one, people don't like eating cold chips. No one likes cold chips.
Actually, you're right.
And I also believe that, once they're kind of gone cold and a bit, it's not something you're going to reheat. Pizza, you can still kind of eat the next day.
And actually, on that note, next week, shall we just, because there's some good chippies nearby,
Should I
get the fresh chips?
Yeah.
But no, then we got good chips.
He's got a point.
Then we just get good chips and I'll do the loaf and
what, are you saying your chips ain't good?
Well, I'm saying...
I'm saying
they're
okay.
You want to get the chip.
No, I'm with you on that.
I'll get a nice crusty
loaf. You don't like his food?
No, because then we can make... Then I can make the desi chip butty. He can make his bread butty. You can just not have it. And
you can decide.
I'll just
you
have can decide. Chips.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to build.
But the reason why that story is floating around, and we should mention it, is because apparently this week is Food Waste Action Week.
It is.
Okay. So, and I think,
hold on, wait. Food Waste
Action Week.
And don't waste food.
Yeah, so we shouldn't be wasting food and try not to waste it. And normally, one portion of chips is enough for two people. Do you know what I mean? You don't need one each. And also, you shouldn't be eating that much chips anyway.
No,
shouldn't
be eating that many chips.
So there we go. And the thing I learned this week was it's about hair loss, and it's about onions. Can you even think what it could be?
Well, okay, not just saying this. I mean, I wonder whether this is true. I'm listening to Silk Orgula's book because her book's come out called Sunny.
Here we go. Go on.
Right? And in that book, she went, and she's talking through the character Sunny, who's this, Asian girl.
Yep.
She goes, my auntie come around and said, if I drink onion juice, it'll make my hair grow thicker. And I thought, is that a thing? I've never heard that as a thing. So onion juice,
they reckon, could be the secret to prevent hair loss.
See, that's so weird. That's in the book. So that's a desi thing.
Yeah.
If Sook's saying it in a kind of way, like, here she goes again. Another typical Asian housewives. What they call it, housewives?
Yeah, like a home remedy.
Yeah, that thing. Yeah. So hold on. I thought, I've never heard that one. And I'm
onion juice. Onion juice. Rub it on your head, mate.
Rub onion juice on your head.
Yeah.
And it prevents hair loss.
Yes.
So it won't restore it. So it's too late for me.
Yeah, disgusting.
So not only does my head look like a Gunda, but it will smell like a Gunda.
Feel free to next week turn up with just some, onion juice all over your head and see how that smells. I mean, I do love an onion.
I mean, you can do it when you're in the chip shop and just put the finger in it, at the bottle.
Yeah.
The vinegar and the onion sauce.
I bought him just some up. Then Ken just licking
pickle juice.
Pickle, just chuck it.
I think just dunk his head in the pickle juice.
Yeah, but what if pickle juice makes it come out like
in the jar?
Yeah, curly. Just dunk his head in there. Guess the pickle.
You never know. You might. It might be like a case of like George's Marvelous Medicine. You might kind of come across it, but onion juice.
I think we need to rub it all over Kedge because he ain't got no hairs on his body.
And prevent
hair. So all over my body.
All over your body.
Yeah,
yes.
Fine, all right. And on his head and see which...
Over what period of time?
I haven't got the stats on that.
Is it not a one-time thing?
No, I haven't got the stats on that yet.
Whatever gets you excited, Kedge, if you want to be put it smothered in onion juice, mate.
I wouldn't mind just soaking in a bathtub with onion juice. I mean, that's a lot of onions, though, isn't it? I mean, look, it's Food Action Week, Waste Week and all of that. Let's not do that. But if you want to get one, cut it in half and give it a rub on your forehead, let us know.
Okay, onion juice for the hair loss. Lovely stuff. There you go. Butters. You learned something new from the brown load. Thank you very much, boys, as always.
Thank you.
No more clubbing nights because we need some recovery time in a couple of weeks. Are you DJing this weekend?
Yeah, of course.
What kind of question is that? That's like, are you going to the toilet this weekend?
Exactly. Weekend, in the week, and the weekend.
Yeah.
Then I'm going away. It's all happening, mate.
Make sure you get your rest in, Satch. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
all
well, right? I would have been resting today, but someone got me out for a podcast on a Monday night.
There we go.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm out tomorrow for International Women's Week. I'm celebrating women.
Oh, there you go.
I'm going to do my bit. There you go. So we're out in Birmingham.
International Women's Day.
All right. Have a good one. Till next week.
Later.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.